When most people hear the word typecast, they probably think of acting. But in fact, type was and is still cast in metal for use in printing. This centuries-old technology is alive and well at Firefly Press in Brighton, Massachusetts, thanks to printer John Christensen. Clients of Firefly Press are fans of traditional craft, John explains.
People will come to us because they like the traditional craft. They like the look of letterpress printing, which is not only the bite into the paper, but also the typographic sensibility that comes from using actual metal type rather than plastic printing plates. The word I like is celebratory. It's sort of special occasion printing, but printing for which there is a real purpose. Celebrating the birth of a child is a real purpose. Thanking people for giving millions of dollars to your museum is a real purpose. It's the sort of thing for which Boston is the perfect market. There is a populace that understands and appreciates these things, that has a sense of propriety, a sense of the past, and quite frankly has enough discretionary income. It's not cheap because it's labor intensive.
The equipment, materials, and techniques used in letterpress printing were established long ago. Handsetting movable type dates back to the 15th century, mechanical typesetting to the late 19th century. Letterpress printing is not only labor-intensive, it requires an enormous amount of space.
We give over half the square footage of this shop to 250 cases of handset metal type and five typecasting machines, three monotype casters and two linotype casters, all of which are necessary to do the work that anybody else these days would do on a desktop.
Unlike a modern print shop with its relatively quiet computers, a letterpress print shop is a dusty, noisy, and potentially dangerous place. Molten metal is injected into molds on typecasting machines. The monotype generates individual characters, while the linotype generates a line of type.
The pinnacles of Victorian engineering, the monotype composition caster is generally reckoned to be the most complicated entirely mechanical device ever mass-produced. They are just insanely complicated, and the learning curve is vertical.
There are no manuals for how to make the monotype work. John explains that in the heyday of hot metal typecasting, employers would send their compositors to a training school run by the Lanston Monotype Company in Philadelphia for half a year. When asked how he learned, John admits he got lucky.
I was very fortunate in my timing. I came along at just the moment when the people who had been doing it all their lives were retired but not dead. I learned enough about monotype machines that I was not afraid of them and could teach myself the rest. I learned in the mid-80s, 1980s, by a man who was in his mid-80s. He was the father of the guy who was running the last little monotype shop in Boston. This man, John McCoubrey, had taken the 26-week course in Philadelphia when he was 18 years old in 1918.
One of the first things John learned about running the monotype is that it needs constant attention and constant adjustment. Mechanisms can jam. Squirts, great geysers of molten lead, can bubble up at you. Not only must you learn to operate the machine, you essentially have to become a resourceful mechanic. John is one of a handful of people in the United States today that can keep a monotype running.
The linotype was much the dominant technology. The monotype was a much more esoteric machine. It was known for doing the finest work, and so it had a niche. It was Macintosh to linotype's Microsoft.
Jesse Marcellet learned a bit about setting type in college. Soon after, he landed a job working for John at Firefly Press. In the old days, he would be called a printer's devil. In just a year and a half, Jesse has become competent in hand-setting type, designing print pieces, running the various presses, and is learning to work on the linotype. I was curious if John planned on teaching Jesse how to operate and maintain the monotype.
It's a difficult balancing act. There are certain things that are simple enough and fundamental enough that one can start sort of slowly and build up. Setting type by hand, running the Vandercook. And those are the things Jesse started with. In short, if he's slow, that's okay because he achieves the same result. It just takes longer. And if he makes a mistake, he's not lying bleeding on the floor and an irreplaceable machine isn't ruined. But the challenge is going to come with the monotype caster because it really is the insanely daunting machine. I installed my machines in the mid-80s, and it was at least 3 years before I could, with any assurance, turn it on and not think it might blow up on me or reliably produce type that I knew would be usable. If Jesse is going to continue doing this for a career, make a career of this, he needs to learn. This is something he has to know because no one else will know it for him. And we're going to have to find the way in which that can be made to work.
Enter the Massachusetts Cultural Council. John and Jesse applied for a traditional arts apprenticeship geared toward running and maintaining the monotype composition caster. In late August, they'll find out if they were funded. To be continued.